KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, 877-881-1053. Frankel, injury attorney. Text line if you want to get involved in any of our conversations or on the YouTube or on the Twitch. Guys, you know what we're going to start out with today?
I don't.
Cut number four. We are, of course, starting with the undefeated Dallas Stars.
Thomas Harley gets it into the corner. Marchman has it. Wrist shot. Score! He's got a pair. Mason Marchman, a sneaky wrister past Wedgwood. And it's 4-1 Dallas.
I love the sneaky wrister. He just said that. I think that's a cool phrase to say.
I don't know why, but the way you said it felt more.
I think
it felt sexualized.
I think whenever
it did, I'm sorry.
Whenever hockey
downloading
players,
Victory Plus, it wouldn't download for me during the show yesterday.
Are you on
why
the Wi-Fi?
Why did you download
here?
It at home?
Yeah,
I don't know.
You went home yesterday.
I forgot the Stars were on Victory Plus until we did a highlight thing.
Okay. By the way, want to remind you guys, brand new episode of Spits and Suds is out with Mike Hyka.
Oh,
if
fantastic.
You want to check that out, where you get any of your favorite podcasts. Now, let's talk about the Stars, and here's what I know is going to happen. I'm just going to try to get it out of the way. The Stars play tonight against the Washington Capitals, Frank Provenzano's own team, old team. I hope they win. I really do.
Pivotal.
No, it's pivotal to nothing.
Yeah, it is.
This is not a tie break game.
You can demoralize the Capitals if you play them in the finals.
How are the Capitals doing this year, Kevin?
Or the final, right?
It's that's just
the
right. Final. You cannot say finals.
It's one game.
Or people. No, it's not one game, but it's just the final.
Currently, the Stars have 8 points. The Capitals have 2 points. You lose tonight, the Capitals have 4 points, and the Stars are still at eight. So, like, you want more points than them.
To be fair, the Capitals have also only played two games, which
three.
Is weird. Oh, did they?
Yeah, they're at 2-1 right now, Kevin.
Oh.
So they've lost.
But don't they have 4 points?
No, man, it just says two right here. Don't you want to beat teams that have losses? You don't want to be a team that lost to a team that has loss?
Remember, you can demoralize them. Last year, Edmonton started off 0-42, I think, to start the year, and then they made it to the Stanley Cup Finals.
And they were just fine.
So hold on. Let me, in the words of Jerry Jones.
I hope they win.
In the words of Jerry Jones, what's your point? What's your point? I love, man, that's a good line, right?
So what?
Did he say that?
Yeah, he did.
Okay, I love the what's your point line. I'm going to start using that
more. And
then
as I think that Sean was trying to get to his point, he said two words. He said, so what?
But yeah, so hold on. What is the,
to you,
what's
peasants.
The point of beating the Capitals tonight, Kevin?
All right, well, I want the Stars to, of course, beat the Capitals for the reasons that you said,
right,
in terms of continuing to stack up points. It's actually something, when we dive into the Mavericks later, it's actually something I feel really passionately about with the Mavericks, that I need them to take the regular season more seriously than they probably have in many, many years. But for the Stars, the thing I wanted to focus in on is the last three games in particular, because they were all home games, obviously all wins as well. Beat the Islanders, the Kraken, and the Sharks.
Okay.
You only gave up two goals total in those three home games.
Kevin, I'm sorry I misspoke. They've played two games. They're 1-1.
Okay.
My apologies.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Yeah, it's fine. So, yes, I see you 2-1-4, must win. From the 4-6-9, I'm pretty sure if they win tonight, they get a playoff spot, right?
Mm-hmm. Hold on. Alec, let me ask you this, though.
Why the hell not?
If at the end of the season,
ooh, I'll look it up,
we fell one game short, one win short,
yep,
of getting into the position we wanted to in the playoffs, mm-hmm, or getting into the playoffs, wouldn't we have blamed it on the first game?
Yeah, you didn't get the Conn Smythe.
Or the second
that
game?
That is, mm-hmm, not a...
Or the third game or the fourth game. One of the games is going to get blamed, Kevin.
Why would it be the fifth game as opposed to, like, a game
that was a pivotal game
in the last
two?
Just like Alex said,
Rangers, mm-hmm, were 22-17 and winning the division, and then they went to Colorado and got swept, and it was against a bad team. And it was like, oh, so what? They'll still figure it out. They're the defending world champions.
So are you insinuating that if they lose this game, this will begin a downward spiral for the Stars?
Who knows? We don't know.
Thank
I agree
you,
with
Mike.
Alec, keep talking.
Thanks, Mike. Man, you know what? Joey's not here. We need a midday Stars enthusiast. So I think I'll take on those reins.
Yes.
It's a hard burden to carry, Kevin.
I like that.
You wouldn't know about it.
But. I am a Stars enthusiast. That is why I was going to give you the information about how important I thought these last three games were.
We, by the way, from the 817, Corey, Kevin, Mike, I think they included Alec too. Have a great show on the 82-0 show of record. So, yeah, Kevin, we'll listen.
Look.
With a side eye, but we'll listen.
What? That's fine. Okay, fine. I always say, don't ever do this. Don't ever make a bet where you get nothing in return. I'm going to break that trend for this.
Uh-oh.
Once the regular season is over, if the Stars go 82-0-0, I will work every show on this station for an entire week consecutively.
Well, they can't go 82-0-1. That wouldn't work. Okay. So, but I appreciate that.
82-0-0.
Last year, the Stars got 113 points.
They did. This would put them at 164 points, which would shatter all existing NHL records.
That'd be amazing.
That is.
Hey, so, Stars, I hope y'all heard that, because now we got to show Kevin.
You need to get to at least to 91 points, according to last year's standings, to make the playoffs. So we're trying to get to 91 at least.
Okay, let's get there, and then we can talk about losing games.
Yeah, and you have to have the most points for the thing.
You guys have made a lot of really great points, so I'm going to start working with you.
What's really going to happen?
If you want the ice cream with the cherry on top seed, you have to have the most points.
What's going to really
suck? They're not called the number one seed or eight seed.
It's C1.
It's called like, oh, you made it, but you're the poop seed.
It's P1. It's not the poop seed.
You have to really look for that seed. The thing, though, is like tomorrow, let's say the Capitals do win. God forbid. You're going to walk in here dancing tomorrow, being like, see?
And we're voting for people in Capitals,
and
right?
And nobody's going to root for you, 5th. Kevin.
True.
Nobody's pulling for you in your moment.
Hey,
reach for the Capitals or reach for the Stars?
Oh, my God. I really hope the Stars win tonight, but what I really wanted to hate you guys so much, it's 8 minutes into the show, for God's sake.
What's the longest winning streak to start a season in hockey? Do we know? I got you, buddy. I'll look it up.
It starts off at one. I know that.
I'm going to say 14.
All right. I'll look it up.
All right. But a big thing for the Stars. They gave up two.
Nine.
Two. Shut up.
That's my.
It's too early for this.
You're guessing 14. I'm guessing nine.
But why don't you make your guesses in a more time-sensitive manner?
My brain doesn't work as fast as yours.
Okay.
17.
You're good at math.
Oh, wow. Mike was closer.
See? I took my time. You didn't take your time. I thought about it.
Two teams. The Maple Leafs in 93-94, the Sabres in 06-07.
That was with Mark Messier.
Nobody's ever gotten 14, though.
That's the New York Rangers.
A lot of teams have started off with five wins, though, so we got a lot of work to do, Kevin.
Bobby Orr.
What? He was certainly retired by
Brett
then.
Brett Orr. Sorry, his son.
What? That's not... All right.
I did play with a Pete Orr from
Bobby
Canada.
McFerrin?
No, that's the guy who said, don't worry, be happy.
You can do this.
Kevin, great job, Mike.
You can son of a bitch.
Yes! Son we have that quote. Here's are you kidding
song
me?
I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note.
Shut up, Mike. Shut up. It's too early in the show for Bobby McFerrin.
As Kevin said, if you want really solid Stars talk, Spits and Suds is available. Go ahead, Kevin.
I want Mike to be on an episode of that. And I'll be like, good luck, guys.
You got this, man.
All right.
You got to pay me first.
Yes, I know. The Stars were the league's best road team last year. We all agree last year, especially in the regular season, was an amazing regular season. All right. The Stars had an amazing regular season. 26-10-5 on the road. In the playoffs, 6-3 on the road. They were a fantastic road team. However, at home, they had a nearly identical record. They were 26-11-4 at home. So almost exactly the same as their record on the road. And remember how I told you they went 6-3 on the road in the playoffs?
Yeah.
4-6 at home in the playoffs. And this is probably the most glaring statistic. They were 20th in the league in goals against per game at home. They gave up 3.02 goals per game.
That's wild. Why? I wonder why.
And that's...
It's not like they have a batter's eye that's confusing to Ottinger or anything, you know?
Yeah, and that was the really interesting thing about last year's team. That's why, in addition to just being 4-0, they won three straight home games. They only gave up two goals in those home games. So I know it's early, but you're clearly out to a far better start at home than you saw last year. And I think that's going to be a big deal for this team if you want to take the top seed in your division or the second or how whatever you think is the most advantageous road ahead in the playoffs. To go along with that, Stars have played 245 minutes of hockey thus far. How much time do you think they have trailed? The answer is not zero.
Two.
You should have given more time to that one.
Yeah, see, this is what happens when I Kevin it. When I Kevin it, I mess it up.
They've trailed for...
Because you said 14 earlier.
20 minutes.
7 minutes and 39 seconds.
That's good.
So...
Cowboys wish they had a seven.
That is very true. Kick a field goal. Kick
7 points
goal,
would be awesome.
Kick a field goal. But they have been in control of these games, and they have already shown an early, early home ice advantage. And those are huge deals. It probably won't surprise you to know that on the list of winners and losers for the first week of the season, the Stars are decidedly in the winner category.
Mm-hmm. When, Kevin, do you feel like when you go into the arena that they have a home ice advantage?
Yes, I do.
Because you feel like the fans in that arena are good.
Like when
we talk about fans in DFW, I might even put it in reverse when I say for like getting into a game, Stars, Mavs, I got to figure Cowboys, Rangers, as far as like how they attach themselves to the game.
I might put Cowboys last. I think the Stars do have the best home, let's say, surface advantage in among those four in the Metroplex. And it's just, the issue has always been, I think for some people, if you're like a season ticket holder, you're like, that's not an issue. You see a lot of the same faces. Like at Mavericks games, you see a lot of different faces, Rangers, Cowboys, different faces. You just don't get the same enthusiasm you see at the Stars games, but the Stars have always wanted to, like a lot of hockey teams, expand their fan base. But yeah, I absolutely believe that the Stars have the best
rabid group
home advantage here in the Metroplex. And it probably won't surprise you to know at the top of the Yahoo Hockey Power Rankings, Dallas Stars are indeed number one.
Yeah, look at those. Yankees.
Washington Capitals are 20, in case you were curious.
Oh, and Stars are one, Capitals are 20?
Yes.
You can't lose to number 20. That's not like that would be. Yeah, you can't do
you'll
that.
You'll power rank yourself out of one.
Yeah, we saw what happened to Texas. Texas didn't even lose.
Yeah.
And they got bumped down to two, and then the team that went to number one lost. So
yeah, Alabama. Alabama's number seven now.
From the 972, it took 13 segments of Mike being back to break Kevin. Gotta love it.
For 817.
I'm glad they counted how many segments it was.
Because I like Roger Staubach.
You said it's too early, but you're the one yelling, shaking my head. That's fair.
Yeah, I'm calm as a cucumber.
Are cucumbers calm? They're cool.
Have you ever seen them? Uncalm?
I've never seen them like wild, so point. I've never seen them upset either.
Do you think cucumbers would stay calm if they knew they were being used as a sex emoji?
I'm sorry, what?
I thought that was eggplant.
That's an eggplant, sir.
Nobody uses a cucumber?
I don't.
Are you sending cucumbers to Jess?
I'm not even sure. I am not.
What does eggplant mean in those things? Because everybody, when they send them, I'm like, I love eggplants.
Well, now I don't want to answer that immediately to, that's your... That's your tackle box, your bait.
Wieners, baby.
There you go.
Thanks,
thank
Alec.
You.
Okay.
There you go.
Kevin, this is my favorite segment of the day far. And okay, we're just getting started.
I think we pucked around.
Yeah. And you found out.
Yeah.
Is it possible the Stars score more points than the Cowboys this season? I could absolutely see the Stars scoring nine or more goals in a game.
Oh, no, the Cowboys are going to find it at some point.
What
we just got to be happy that we have the Stars rolling the way they are right now. I mean, that is the benefit of having four teams in your city. If you root for all four teams, you can just kind of transfer your love in some different ways.
I think that the Stars honestly have a chance to get more points per win, which is just two, correct? than the Cowboys do at the end of the year on rushing yards, like... per attempt.
That might be valid, actually, the way it's going.
So that prediction would be the Cowboys will not get above 2 yards per carry for this season.
I'm not sure if they will.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, who are the top 10 players in the NBA? And we've got a few potential breakout candidates as well. Plus, Gilbert Arenas has thoughts about Bronny. All of it next right here on The Fan.
Doncic with a three. Sticks it.
7-0 personal run here by Luka.
KNC Masterpiece right show. Here on 105.3 The Fan.
KNC Masterpiece Show.
No, I'm not going to say that. And we got some basketball stuff to chop up here, including who are the top 10 players. If you got some people that you think are really going to blow up in the NBA this year, I'd be glad to hear that as well. But we've gone through the top 100. We are now to the top 10. There's been three Mavericks thus far. Luka will be in the top 10.
Well, yeah, we know that.
Yeah, we discussed that yesterday.
Yes.
He said he thought he's number two.
Just resetting.
Yeah.
Jokic, you had one.
Do you want to start at the top?
Yeah, because then it won't be a process of elimination.
True. Who do you think is number one?
I think Jokic.
Jokic is, in fact...
He's won three of the last four MVPs.
No more. That is a good point.
I would have won another one, but Kendrick Perkins put an end to that.
Yeah, he did.
Why?
Because he's white. Jokic, that is. Two. I mean, look, you go back and listen to what he said. He did point out, he was like, yeah.
JJ Redick called him out on it.
Yeah, all three of these outliers are white. What do they have in common? All right, who's the second?
Luka!
You sure?
Absolutely. You know what? Here's what I'm going to do.
So I think
I'm
going
to go off the board here, and I'm going to say they're going to go with Shea. I have not seen this, and I don't agree with it, and I think he is a top five player, but I think he got so much hype last year, and he was great in the playoffs. He was better than I thought.
But who beat him?
I would lean towards Luka did. No, you're right, and Luka beat Anthony Edwards. I look at it, and I would still lean towards an overall player, but he has to stay a little bit more healthy. I would lean towards Giannis.
Okay.
But I think this one, if I had to make my list, I would put Giannis 2 and Luka 3. I think on this ESPN list, is ESPN?
Yes.
Without looking at it, I think they might go Shea here.
Luka is, in fact, second on the list.
How many Luka haters like Ryan Dries, I love you, buddy, are mad at this and say this is a joke? Like, the Luka haters don't even believe he's like a top 10 player. Like Stephen A. Smith, I don't know if he'd have him in the top five. I know he wouldn't have him in the top five. It's just a matter of would he put him at 6 or would he put him at 11?
Everybody who covers the NBA agrees. Well, most everyone seems to agree that he's a top five player and has been that way for at least a few years, even if you disagree with like the first team all NBA. Then it goes Giannis in third. Then Shea is fourth. So y'all had...
Do you think there's a separation? Those four separate themselves from the next six?
I do.
Okay. Like a tier almost.
Yes. Absolutely.
It's interesting because that feels like it's a changing of the guard now. Doesn't it feel like...
Because LeBron, Steph, KD are all not in that group.
Okay. So did they bump them down further?
Well, they're not number five either, and this is why I think it's a tiered system for sure, because number five is Jason Tatum. Look, I like Jason
Tatum.
Giving
him credit for a championship.
But I think that Shea, Giannis, Luka, and Jokic are on a different level.
I'm with you. That's why I said I think that's the tier, and then we get to a little bit where we know there's four guys. How are they going to rank them? And now we know there's six guys, and how are they going to rank them?
So as a player on the court, you think that Jason Tatum is in a different group than those four?
I agree. And I agree about all the rest of them.
What about intrigue off the court?
I mean, you told me he's super boring.
I do think he's super boring, but I think people are so invested in Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
And he's not good enough. No matter what he does, it's not good enough.
This isn't fair because they play different positions and they're different players to their team. If I take Jokic and put him on the Celtics last year, they win the championship. Same thing with Luka. Same thing with Shea. Same thing with Giannis. I think the Celtics win the championship if I take Tatum off the team and add one of those four guys.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, I'm going to take Tatum and put him on the Nuggets. Don't they drop off pretty significantly?
Yeah, he's not there yet.
And you don't think they make the finals if he's with the Mavs,
I don't think
right?
the Mavs make the finals if he's with... Right, so if I start replacing Tatum and put him on Oklahoma City, I put him on Dallas, I put him on Denver, I put him on Milwaukee... I'm not sure if they go any further or as far with Jason Tatum. And that's the tier where I have those four guys going to the Celtics and they all still win the championship.
Yeah.
By the way, somebody asked where Bronny is on this list. He unfortunately did not make the top 100, but we'll get to him in just a minute.
Yeah.
Jason Tatum's 5. Steph is 6. LeBron 7. Joel Embiid is 8. I will say this. Joel Embiid is the one player, I think, on this list that is the most likely to be able to crack back into the top four. It's just injuries have just really, really just dropped him on the list. He's an awesome player when he's out there. He's unbelievable, but he can't stay healthy. And that's why I think, even at eight, I think is probably too high for the year to come.
I would say at this point, the way that they Wimbied him to 11 and even Lively up to 56 yesterday.
Yeah.
I do not think right now, if you're going to get to nine and this is the person or 10, it's going to be him. I don't think this is fair at all to Anthony Edwards.
Yeah.
Wasn't he better if you look at LeBron, Curry, Embiid? Anthony Edwards was better than them and going to be better?
Cracking the top 10 is a big deal for Edwards. I don't know if he was on it last year, but I feel like cracking the top 10 is a big deal. The other part is I still think there's a maturity that people are asking of Anthony Edwards to go beyond.
I'm with you. But they put Wimby at 11 for winning 24 games last year, whatever it was.
It is interesting because KD is 9 and Anthony Edwards is 10. And you're right. He cracks the top 10, but last year he was 13.
Okay.
That feels like that undervalues the jump he made from the season before to this past season.
If they're going
to
treat him this way, which is fine. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. Then Wimby can't get into the top 10 next year unless he makes it to like the second round of the playoffs. And heck, me and my son were going over the West, which is for another segment. And he's like, I think the Spurs are going to make like the 7-10. And then we start going through it. And it's like, there's no almost. I won't say there is no chance. There's almost no chance when you look at how deep the West is that San Antonio can make the leap into 9th or 10th place.
From the 4-6-9, Anthony Edwards should be at 5. By the way, that's how I put it yesterday. I had Jokic, Luka, Shea, Giannis, and then Anthony Edwards at 5. But on the ESPN list, he is only at number 10. Are there any particular players that you think are like primed to make maybe a big jump? And maybe not even somebody, like they don't have to necessarily be on the list. But another person I thought of is, again, going back to Jalen Williams with the Jalen with an E. Yes, with Oklahoma City.
All right.
I think he has the possibility to take another jump.
All right, so this is scary because I thought of two players.
Are they both Oklahoma City?
Chet.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think there's still a lot of growth there. I know, like, weight-wise and everything, but I still think, like, his game is scary if he stays healthy, how good he can get. And you have Shea, and you just mentioned Jalen Williams. And then the other one who I think can make a big leap, as long as he keeps his guns in his pocket and stays healthy, is Ja Morant.
Yeah, right. I was going to say Ja.
Because when you start looking at the West, and we're not even considering Memphis as a contender, we have to remember 2 years ago when Ja was healthy, how good they were. And so I look at Ja Morant, if he can stay healthy for approximately 70 games and not get into trouble off the court, I think Ja Morant can jump into the top. It would be close to top 10, but I think top 15 for sure. And where was Ja?
He was 20.
I think he can push for a top 10 player if he's completely healthy.
Somebody brought this up, and I am interested by this. De'Aaron Fox. The reason why, kind of going off the Spurs logic you were using a minute ago, I went with Halliburton.
I was going to say Halliburton, too.
Okay, yeah. Because he is higher up in the list. He's 16, and I think Fox was 26. I just think I see a clearer path for Halliburton to potentially get back to where he was last
year. Can I give you another player that could crack the top 10?
Chet Holmgren.
Well,
sorry.
How about this? Because you mentioned him yesterday. I think you had him at 25. Not you, but the list is Paolo Banchero.
Paolo Banchero is 24. Kyrie is 25.
Okay. He could be a top 10 guy.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. And that team seems like they have the upward momentum that you would want as a franchise with a whole bunch of young players. And by the way, for the people who are upset, and actually there are a lot of people who are upset that Anthony Edwards is not in the top 5. That's ESPN's call. I put him at 5 and they were like, no, that opinion is stupid.
I thought being at 10 was too low too. But it does get really tough.
What about Brandon Miller? Does he have that?
Okay.
Because he's low, right? You said him in
Brandon Miller, I actually want to talk about something from a Yahoo article, and then I'll check where I don't remember where he is in the rankings.
Okay.
Brandon Miller was the top player listed by Yahoo in terms of, I know it's a different thing.
He had a solid rookie year.
He in terms of somebody who could really make a big jump. And I know he got kind of maybe lost in the shuffle because he wasn't Wemby and he wasn't as loud as Scoot in terms of like actual talking. But Brandon Miller is a really intriguing one. He averaged what, like about almost 15 points or maybe 15 points last year.
He's just stuck in Charlotte. Is that a problem?
Yeah.
I think that that's going to be tough because they're a horrible team, but he will get to shine there.
That is true. But I think Brandon Miller's a really savvy
Brandon pick. Miller is the guy that Charlotte is going to try to build their franchise around and hope that he becomes a top 20 player in the league.
Yes.
We know that.
Yes.
Here's a team that I'm very confused on, but I do think they're a scary team to make noise in the West. I just don't know who to pick as their best player, and that's the Houston Rockets. Is it Sengun, who they played, they might have played better without
him?
Yeah. Is it Jalen Green or is it Jabari Smith? Who is going to be their Luka or who is going to be their Dirk? Who is out of these three guys, who could be the guy that then shines as their number one?
What if they're, I mean,
or are they all number two?
Yeah,
and
what
threes?
If they're like the Celtics, where you have a bunch of guys that all work well together?
See,
or maybe they don't work well together.
I think that's a great point because I was going to ask, what if they're all Nash and Finley? And I know people will be like, oh, Nash won two MVPs. Like, I hear you. I'm not, he's a great player, but he was never. Like, at least for the Mavericks, he was not the lead dog.
Right.
And so that's what I wonder is, do they have three players that are all, I'm a second, I'm a second, I'm a second?
Good question.
Which, that can get you pretty far.
They are an intriguing team in the Western Conference. I don't think they can compete to make it to, let's say, the Western Conference Finals, but I think they could be a team where you get to 50 games in the season, and they're 30-20.
Yeah.
And you're just like, dang, like... Houston's now taking a jump into a possible like sixth seed, you know, and they just missed the playoffs last year.
I think I would say Green, but that is a tricky question.
It's a tough one. I'm sure right now our guy down in Houston's talking about it.
You could say Reggie, right?
Reggie? I've been texting with Reggie all morning, so it's okay. Like we text all the time.
Now I can assume it was mostly a conversation about Gilbert Arenas and cut number 12. So
there might be a lot too much meat on the bone.
Do you want to go to 1 o'clock with this?
All right. Then can I tell you some other?
Heck yeah, you can. You're the leader of the show, man. You just tell me what to do and I do it.
Actually, sometimes you don't even tell us. You just do it yourself.
Say yes,
that
sir.
Is, yeah, that's, we've decided that's maybe not the way to go. All right. I got a couple other things for you. First of all, not that people around here will necessarily care anymore, but FanDuel is going to take over the Bally branding, that is. So it's not going to be Bally Sports anymore. It is going to be FanDuel that's going to take over on the Diamond Regional Sports Networks.
Heck yeah, they still got the Wings.
Now, I know for a lot of people, they're like, hey, they don't have the Rangers. They don't have the Mavericks. They don't have the Stars anymore.
You think they'll try to pursue that? Do you think that might be that FanDuel will be like, you know what? We want to go buy these back.
I don't think they're going to be able to afford it. And here's the reason why. Well, I mean, I guess they probably could afford it. But the Mavericks are doing their own thing, right? And we're probably going to hear more about that. Brad Townsend had an article about that this morning that we're probably going to find out more about that next week in terms of the app that the Mavericks are doing.
Yeah, I'm still worried about after the TNT opening night game, because I went to YouTube after dropping DirecTV, is I'm still like scared. Do I get that Channel 29 thing?
But most of the games are on Channel 8. I still believe, right?
No, only weekend games for the most part. They cannot cannot
bump regular
take off,
program. It's,
I don't even know if
that's
the Bachelor or whatever's on there. I don't know. They cannot kick off a nationally televised like thing.
That makes sense. So this Sunday, supposedly the word is that Channel 29 is going to switch their programming, because I know a lot of people have been worried about, isn't that the Spanish language station?
Yeah.
They're going to change their programming. And the Mavericks have been working a lot to get like expanded coverage and everything. So I think you're going to be good. But to your point, that's why I think the answer is no, is because the Mavericks are about to roll out their own thing. We've already heard that the Rangers are working on their own thing. The Stars have essentially their own thing. I know there's more to it than that with Victory Plus, but all of these teams are like, if content is king, I want to own and control my own content and no longer like license it out.
Yeah. And in fact, I will say this is where Jerry Jones is a genius, is he was like, I'm joining the NFL as an owner, but I'm not joining all of these contracts.
Yes.
I'm going to do my own thing with Nike. I'm not going to do Coca-Cola. I'm going to do Pepsi. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do that. And then he had to kind of sue the NFL because the NFL wasn't allowing him to do it. And he won. And that's how he became what he is today. Not football. He has nothing to do with football. Jimmy did the football. He did all the things where he figured out for himself how to make more money off of the NFL. Then the NFL eventually said, we're going to follow this Jerry Jones guy because he knows how to make money.
Absolutely. I mean, you could make a strong argument that that's why he's in the Hall of Fame.
Right. He would say he's not in the Hall of Fame for that. He would say that is very secondary to me trading Herschel Walker and me doing all the things.
And that's okay if we agree to disagree.
And me coaching the team in 92 and 93 when he'd go down to the sideline.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bacsik.
Can't believe that Walker Buehler.
He pitched great.
Next.
Shohei 16 for his last 19 with runners in scoring position. That's where Smith is on second. The pitch is hit high in the air, right field, hooking toward the pole, and this ball is fair and gone. Shohei Ohtani unloads a three-run home run here in the top of the eighth inning.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bacsik.
So that definitely wasn't the Dodgers call, right?
Like, he seemed kind of fired up at the very end.
Yeah, that was an interesting call for Shohei kind of completely ending the game. I felt like at 4-0, the way that I am shocked, I'm going to be honest, I am shocked at how well the Dodgers are pitching.
Yeah,
especially yesterday. I was going to talk about, Walker Buehler here in a second, but overall, throughout this playoffs, when they were down 2-1 to the Padres, and I thought the Padres were going to win that series before it started because of the lack of pitching the Dodgers have. It just stinks that they have lack of pitching every time the playoffs comes around. But here they are with lack of pitching, lack of numbers, and they are pitching their butts off for the most part in the playoffs. So congratulations to them. They win yesterday. I thought there was a big moment yesterday for Walker Buehler. He had the bases loaded with one out. Francisco Alvarez is up. No, he's their number 9-hole hitter. He's a bad hitter. He has one swing. It's almost like, I hate saying this, and this isn't true, but I'm going to exaggerate here. You have to hit Francisco Alvarez's bat. He has the same swing every time. It's the same path. Like,
is that the one that Smoltz was talking about where his bat's flat and then he brings it and then he just has so much different motion? I think it is. Smoltz was really diving in.
I know that he threw the bat the first swing because he only has one swing. Like he's and they're trying to tell him, like, you can cut down on your swing. You don't have to. But he's Joey Gallo in a way. Like, I have one swing, and if I hit it, it's hit hard. My problem is I don't make adjustments to the pitch, the count, the anything. I just swing hard in case I hit it. And so he strikes out. And now the bases are loaded with two outs and Francisco Lindor is coming up. And I thought, oh my gosh, what a moment. It's 2-0 Dodgers. It's third inning. Buehler's thrown over 20 pitches in the inning. He's walked a couple guys. He's not sharp in this inning.
And he doesn't have a good recent track record either.
No. And then Lindor on 1-2 works it to 3-2. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what a moment. The crowd is going nuts. Bases are loaded. What if he hits another grand slam here? And I think it said in his career, with the bases loaded, he's batting .336 with 7 grand slams.
Wow.
So, like, Lindor does well in those situations. And he threw a hammer curveball, just a great curveball that would have been a strike if he didn't swing.
Yeah.
And Lindor swings over the top of it out in front, and he gets a big strikeout. And that was the Mets' chance. Right there, that was the Mets' chance for the game to be a different game. But from that point on, Walker Buehler goes out. And I thought this was beautiful, too, in the game. You don't have to do this. I don't think Bochy would do this, but he might. They interview Dave Roberts going into the fourth inning, the bottom of the fourth. And they say, Dave, what are you thinking? This and that. Walker Buehler goes, hey, he's battling. I like his curveball, his sweeper, this and that. I'm trying to milk 3 more batters out of him and only 3 more batters. And I thought, what insight into a game right now that before the fourth inning starts, Dave Roberts is saying he's only facing 3 more batters at most. I'm trying to see if I can get him 3 more outs here. And I thought that was really cool to be part of a playoff game in the middle of an inning that Dave Roberts is telling you the strategy right now.
Is there any part, like, obviously I know the Yankees have a better advantage right now, 2-0. is there any part of you that thinks the Dodgers series is over, or are you like, it's 2-1, like the Mets win today, yeah, game on? But I know there are some people who think like the Dodgers were an overwhelming favorite going into it, and now that they've got the lead back, that that's a wrap.
Yes, but what about when the Rangers lost 3 in a row at home to the Astros?
For sure.
And then going back to Houston. What about when the Padres looked like they were dominating the Dodgers just last series, up 2-1? You had a game in San Diego. You know, it looked like the Padres, but Dylan Cease, yeah, pitched like crap. There was nothing they could do about their stud ended up pitching like crap in the playoffs. That can happen, and it really stinks. The Dodgers have gone through that with Kershaw.
Sure.
We're like, we have the best team. We're going to do something, and Kershaw's in his prime. And then he just doesn't pitch well. And you're like, we would have never expected the reason we're out of the playoffs is because Kershaw had another blow-up sixth inning where he gave up 4 runs. Like that, sometimes bad things happen that you can't predict. So I do agree. I do think the Dodgers and Yankees are on their way to the World Series, but we have seen in recent history that I can't believe this just happened.
How desperately do the Dodgers need any version of Walker Buehler that looks like this?
I think so, because I thought that the Mets had the advantage before the game in, sure, pitching, but Walker Buehler was able to put, it wasn't like an easy 4 zeros, but he was, yeah, able to put 4 zeros on the board and hand it over to a Dodgers bullpen right now that has just been great. Think about the game they lost. They were down 6-0 because of the starting pitcher. And then the final score, was it 7-3 yesterday or 2 days ago? They might have scored one late.
Yeah.
I think because that one really helped out. So the Dodgers bullpen came in and pitched somewhat innings 2-8 with only giving up 1 run.
Yeah.
Yesterday, they're able to hold a, at the time, 2-0 lead. I know it ended up getting expanded tremendously by the Ohtani home run that we just heard about. But I just think that the Dodgers pitching, to me, has been unbelievable in this series. Now, Corey, you saw something yesterday in the game that I also saw too, and I'm glad you brought it up before we went to the segment, because I do think that game's on Fox yesterday, yep, that they are FS1. They're doing a great job of promoting what?
Yeah, Ohtani. When's he coming up? 2 batters from now. 4 batters away from Shohei Ohtani. Every time
that is genius.
You look up, they're promoting that Ohtani's on the way. And one time I told you, Mike, I was like, okay, I'll be right back. And I left, and then I came back and I missed it. And I was like, dang it. Now I know I have to just sit there and watch. So they got me, man.
I think that they're doing a good job of that.
That's smart, because like, I get everyone keeps saying, oh, you want the Yankees-Dodgers because it's the Yankees-Dodgers because it's L.A. and New York. And I agree with all that. It's also Judge against Ohtani. Like, I know they won't go
and Soto and Betts.
Yeah, they're not going to go in direct competition, but like, that's what we're all here for.
Yeah, you want to see the best in the game at the, we love upsets. I guarantee you most Ranger fans right now hope the Yankees don't make the World Series. And I get it. I'm rooting for Cleveland.
Agreed.
Tonight. I don't feel like a strong connection to Cleveland anymore, but I'm rooting for Cleveland. I just can't root for the Yankees. But I know what's best for baseball is that, because I heard this, this has been their longest streak of not making the World Series since Babe Ruth. Like when Babe Ruth got traded.
It's been 15 years, right?
Yeah, 2009 was the last time the Yankees made the World Series. And if they, this has now been the longest stretch in Yankees baseball history.
Good, man. Let's keep it that way.
So yes, agreed.
If you think about it that way, Cowboy fans, is the Yankees of foot, the Yankees of baseball are like the Cowboys in football, and the Cowboys haven't even gone to a ALCS, yeah, / NFC championship game. And they're like, Yankee fans are like, do you know how much this would mean to us? It has been forever. It's been since 2009 we've been in a World Series. They did win that World Series.
Yeah.
But just like us as a kid, we got used to, unfortunately, hey, my parents and grandparents tell me we're always in the big games. We're always playing for the championship. And then what do you know, when I'm a high school kid, the Cowboys are playing for all the championships or in the big games. And that's just your kind of birthright or given right as a Yankee fan or a Laker fan or a Cowboy fan. And here the Yankees are finally 2 wins away from their kind of birthright of, we're supposed to be in the World Series at least once every 5 years.
I believe the previous long for most seasons between NFC championship game appearances for the Cowboys was 11. And obviously now it's up to 29.
So, what are you doing right now, man? Why are you talking about all the bad things?
I do think, though, when you bring up Yankees, that they are like the Cowboys.
Yeah.
And their Yankee fans are spoiled. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you, Cowboy fans are not spoiled anymore. We might be upset.
We used to be. Yeah.
But yeah, it's you are not spoiled as a Cowboy fan anymore. Thanks a lot, Jerry Jones. That's Baseball Nuggets.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Plus, we decide what the bonus content for that segment will be.
Let's do it.
Next, right here on The Fan.